Kof Beis Teves, Sunday the 19th of January, Rabbi Shimshon Silkin, keeping warm.
Yes, it's the coldest day of the winter so far. Good morning, good morning. It is very frosty out there. It's a very topical subject. Someone told me yesterday on Shabbos is coming, just to figure out how to keep warm, because he can't get his house warm enough. I don't see him here yet. He has to get the recording.
He's frozen.
He's frozen.
Waiting for the plug.
Parshas Va'era, and these parshas that discuss the Yidden going into Golus and then Baruch Hashem coming out 210 years later. So the Medrash on this week's parasha, Shmois Rabba Tes Gimel.
Yes,
not Tes Gimel. Tes Gimel. Brings the halacha that says that if a person is davening and they find that there is a snake, a nochosh, koruch al hakevov, wound around the ankle, a person finds a snake wound around his ankle, what's the halacha?
Depends if it's dangerous life.
What's the problem?
I think
what's the problem? Well,
it's talking about a snake that it's not going to kill.
Oh. So he should carry on davening. Exactly. Ein poitzik. Carries on davening. What on earth does this halacha have to do with the parsha, or these parshas in general? So the Medrash goes on to say, "Ma hanochosh melachish v'hoireg." Just like the nochosh is like a silent killer. Sneaks up on a person and kills them. Af Malchus Mitzrayim, so too the kingdom of Egypt, similarly ganged up on Klal Yisrael and threatened, and to a large extent also succeeded, in killing or wiping out many Yidden. So the Shaila is, what's the kesher between Nochosh and Mitzrayim? What's the Nochosh got to do with Mitzrayim? Why is Mitzrayim here compared to a snake? And what's the inyan of the fact that it's Koruch al hakevov b'shas ha'tefillah? What can we learn out from there with regards to our davening? And how can we extract that from these parashas discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim? What's the emolet? So if we look in the Gemara in Brochus, that Lamed Gimel, that is Lamed Gimel. Not Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel. Omed Aleph. Omer Rav Sheshes. Lo shonu elo nochosh. This only applies to a snake. If a snake is wound around your ankle, keep davening. But there is another creature that halacha allows you to interrupt your davening for. And that's called an akrov. Avol akrov poisik. An akrov is a scorpion. A nochosh, keep davening. You see a scorpion on your foot, the halacha allows you to take care of it, to tend to it. Why? Vogdrashi openot lefisha ha'akrov musukin la'akot. The akrov is much more dangerous than the nochosh. He's a more bad-tempered creature, and he's more likely, the akrov is more likely to, does it sting, does it bite? Here Rashi says bites. It will inject its poison somehow. It will bring the person to his demise in a more hurried fashion. Rashi says there, muchen lishoich, so he uses the word to bite also, muchen lishoich, it is prepared, it's always in a state of
aggression.
Aggression. Oh. And to back up Rashi Lechor, we can see another Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Omed Aleph, where the Gemara says, Gimel Shloisho Boin Behesach Hadas. There are three things that come without warning. One of them is a metzia. Right, if a person is just walking along and stumbles upon a good sale, although today it's not so much Behesach Hadas, because it's normally advertised in the local news and the tzedakah comes around. But a Mitzir, another one is Moshiach Halavai. In fact, the Gemara says, Ein ben David bo ela Behesach Hadas, which has been immortalized in that great song. And the third one is the Akrov. The Akrov also comes Behesach Hadas, which means that the Akrov is at any moment ready to strike. Constantly ready to strike. So the question for us is, if Chazal compare Mitzrayim to the Nochash, or we could say that the Nochash is Mitzrayim, we need to find out, so who is the Akrov? Who is this Akrov? Dahanu like this. The Akrov, based on this Halacha, and based on how Rashi describes the Akrov, is in a way more dangerous than the Nochash. The Nochash, as bad as it is not always Mucha Nishoich, it's not always Mesukin Lakoitz. So therefore, if it's Korach HaLakevov, carry on davening. Person sees an Akrov, you have to run a mile. Right, get rid of the Akrov. The Shaila is, who is this Akrov? And what Be'etzim is the difference between the Akrov and the Nochosh? And why Taka should you therefore not break for the Nochosh, but you should break, you should be Mafsik Yud Tefillah for the Akrov? That's what we'd like to try and find out.
I can't imagine you would have
a Nochosh around your ankle and just carry on davening.
Yes, I can't imagine.
What are you talking about? So if you have a knock around your ankle, you wouldn't even notice it. You're davening with such kavona, you wouldn't even see it there. No.
Fine. Okay, well,
wouldn't
say you should stop
then. That's true. Who was it? I think Rinzen Eibschitz, who said that if people daven with kavona properly, you would never remember to say Yalla V'Yoba. You're so angerton in your tefillah, how can you remember what do you mean? Why would you even think for a moment, hang on a second, it's a Chodesh, it's I thought you have kavon in your tefillah. Very interesting. Anyway, maybe for another time we can discuss kavon in tefillah. It's one of the things, very complicated. Al kaponim, this Nochosh. Of course, we make acquaintance with this Nochosh right from the very beginning. Right, you open up Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, and you come across this Nochosh, which is in, obviously, Gan Eden, together with Adam and Chava, and he is the instigator of the Chet of Adam Rishon. When we state in Chazal, and the Zohar Kodesh writes it about the Nochosh in Bereishis, that this Nochosh is Hu HaSotan, Hu HaYetzahora, Hu HaMalach HaMoves. He's the Koyach of the Sitra Acha, he's the Koyach of Tum in the world, he's the Koyach of Taiva, the Koyach of the Yetzahora. We know who the Nochosh is. We don't really need a major introduction to what Nochosh, the concept of Nochosh, certainly the creature called Nochosh, we don't need an introduction in terms of what he represents in Torah and in Torah Hashkof. And whenever you see the word Nochosh, you know something's terrible. In fact, it's interesting. Not for now, but the word Nochosh, interessant. Nochosh and Sotan. Nochosh and Sotan. The middle letters of both of those words actually spell the word Chet, the Ches of the Nochosh and the Tes of the Sotan. And the outer letters spell the word Shein. And Shein is the teeth. Yeah. Apparently, the Nochosh stores its poison between its teeth. Still 17 is deep, which means that the Shein is the Chedek HaToiv, and what's between, which is the Ches and the Tes, which is the Chet, is the Chedek Hora. And that's why when the Nochosh bites, it releases that poison. But what it's releasing is Chet into the world. There's a whole raid of them, but there's noach about this, how. Yeah. Al Kaponim, this is a Nochosh. But who is the Akrov? Where do we come across an Akrov? The scorpion. It's not really, there's no story in the Torah that we're aware of where there's an Akrov at the center of the Maisa. So, Dohom and Al Gemara Bova Basra Daf Ein Dalet. There, the Gemara, Omer Abba Baba Choma, it talks about the time when they were traveling through the desert. Obviously, the Sinai desert must be near Sinai, Yudua, famous Maisa. And they come across an Arab merchant, and he says to them, come and I will show you. Har Sinai. I'll come and show you the Mokoim Kabbalas HaTorah, which of course nobody really knows where it is today. apart from the Jordanian tourist board, of course, very convenient for them to know, but we don't really know where it is. And there the famous Gemara is that he took them to Har Sinai, and they saw that Har Sinai was being protected by a ring of white donkeys and akrovim, which are scorpions. Yeah. So not clear what's going on over here. Barzo shted nigmova basra ein shom. It's a while till we get there in the Daf Yomi, but I should say you get there, and you've fantastic melamdim and loimde adaf. But barzo shted nigmova basra that Har Sinai has this akrovim that's surrounding it. In Maharal in Chedush Agodas on that Gemara, he explains that this is effectively giving us a picture of what the Akrav is all about, which is that he is a mafsik, he is a barrier, he creates a barrier, an impediment, a blockage between Klal Yisrael and Har Sinai, which is the Torah. The role, the function of the Akrav is to block access, so to speak, is to put up a blockade, preventing us from accessing the Torah. That's what the Akrav does, he's a preventative. He himself is a mafsik between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ha'akrov hu ha'memis, he writes, ha'mafsik bein ha'odom lahar Sinai, as though she did Mara. That's the purpose of that Gemara, to tell us that the koyach ha'akrov in the world, unlike the nochosh, which we know is the Yetzer Hara, which means that causes us to do avera, nochosh causes us to do chet, the akrov prevents us from doing that which is good. The akrov is a barrier. So in other words, Azoi, there's always two negative forces in the world. That which causes us to do chet, chas v'sholom, and that which prevents us from doing good. The opposite of sur mirah v'aseh toiv. The opposite of sur mirah v'aseh toiv is sur mitoiv v'aseh ra. The nochosh is the aseh ra. The nochosh is what stimulates the Yetzer Hara, the taiva, and makes us want to do an avera, chas v'sholom. The akrov is the sumitoiv, stay in bed, don't get too excited, don't have kavona, don't learn too much. That would appear to be the difference between the nochosh and the akrov.
Do you expect to look for the person to know the difference between akrov and nochosh?
Yes, sure.
That's why you come to Torah.
Oh. So the opening pasukim of this week's parasha. Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe vayomer Elov ani Hashem. Vo'eiro el Avraham el Yitzchok el Yaakov v'ker Shakai u'shmi Hashem lo nodati lohem. V'gam haki Moshe es brisi itom loses lohem es eretz Kanaan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really telling Moshe now that I have promised and I intend to uphold my promise to the Avos to give them Eretz Canaan, specifically. In Sfasemes state, and the Shem Reb Dudi is not here today, because he'll love Sfasemes, but in Sfasemes state, that the word Canaan, the letters rearranged, spells the word Achno. The Achno is the Nochosh. The Achno is Aramaic for Nochosh. So somehow there's an association between Eretz Canaan and this Nochosh. Obviously, Eretz Canaan becomes Eretz Yisroel. But Eretz Canaan, why is Eretz Canaan? Is like the Nochosh. And Sfasemes points out something really interesting, which is that both the Nochosh and Canaan share one property, share one fact. They are both Arurim. Isn't that interesting? They're both cursed. The Nochosh is cursed, and Canaan is cursed. They are the two cursed items in the Torah. It's a statement, Pasuk At Oru Atu Mekola Behema Mekola Chayot, which is a reference to the Nochosh, that you will be cursed of all the animals and all the Chayas. The Nochosh is the cursed animal. And Canaan, we know, is Oru Canaan Eved Avodim Yele Echov. Canaan, after the whole Ma'aseh with Noach, was the one that was cursed. There is a certain Oru that applies to both the Nochosh and to Canaan. Why is this?
Does it mean Achno as well?
It does mean that, in a different context. Sforim say that Eretz Canaan is Meloshon Achno, to teach us that the only way we can conquer Eretz Yisrael is through Achno. That's why they had to go to Har Sinai through the Midbar before they could go to Eretz Canaan, because they had to lower themselves. Yeah. But this is slightly different to Kudah. not so much mitzad hachnoah, but mitzad where Canaan comes from. If you want to know the essence of anything, you've got to look at its roots. The roots of Canaan, the father of Canaan is Chum. Chum avi Canaan. So Hashemish states that Chum is the Loshon Chamimus. And that's where the keeping warm comes from. It's the Loshon of warmth. Canaan is the son of warmth. He's the product of Chamimus. Of a velcha sort Chamimus. What are we talking about? What sort of warmth? So Hashemish, the wrong kind of warmth. The wrong kind of warmth is the Yetzer Hara that is Boyer Ka'esh, that warms a person to do an Avera, that excites the person to commit something that's wrong. So there's a Chamimus. And that's why Canaan is Orun, and that's what the Nochosh does. The Nochosh, which is compared to Canaan, and Canaan is compared to the Nochosh, is the Koach in the world that warms a person up to say the wrong thing, maybe Lashon Hara, eat the wrong thing, see the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. All the averis that come from a chamimus that cause a person to have a chendo and a taiva for something that is wrong. Memela, Mitzrayim is compared to Canaan. The reason why the parasha begins by HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe that I'm going to give you Eretz Canaan and you're going to move from Mitzrayim to Canaan is because Mitzrayim, as we saw before, is compared to the Nochosh. It's Mitzrayim and Medrash. Mitzrayim is compared to the Nochosh because Mitzrayim was about the Chamimus of an Aver. Mitzrayim was a place that was Shtufei Zimo. They were Oyved Avodah Zorah.
The symbol of the
Paris. Paris head had a symbol of the Nochosh. When I was just in the British Museum on Friday, actually, taking a school around the museum, we took them through all the Galuyos. And as we walked through Mitzrayim, and we walked through Bobah, and we walked through Paras and Modai, and we walked through Yovan, and we walked through Roimi, we kept saying the same pasuk. Which pasuk? There's only one pasuk you can say as you go through the British Museum. V'hatem advekim Hashem aleikechem, chayim kulchemayim. Look at them all. Preserved with special chemicals and security cameras behind a glass.
March
and we march our way through. Correct. Aber Mitzrayim befrat, the Nochosh, Stufe Zimmer, Mischanen im Nidwa Avera, Kishuv. This was the Korah Barzel of Mitzrayim. Tichbat ha'avoida ala anoshim. Stir the pot. Work them harder. And all the swarm say, Tichvat ha'avoida, Tichvat ha'avoida al ha'anoshim, what's the exact lashon? Ki nirpim atem nirpim, nu?
Baal yishu b'divrei shoker.
Baal? Yishu?
Yishu b'divrei shoker.
B'divrei shoker. Yeah. Tichvat ha'avoida al-anoshim. Oh. What's the avoida? Avoida zora. All the swarm say, avoida zora. Genta. Tichud Avon Anoshim v'yasu bo v'al yishu b'di v'shoki. Right. Avodah Zorah, this is Mitzrayim. Get the people to just engage in kol mine tuma and aveiro shuba'olam. That's why Mitzrayim is the Nochosh. So who's the Akrov? That's Akrov. As we said before, that there are two forces that can prevent a person from doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's either, as we saw here, the Aseira, but then you have a different koach called the Sur Metov. I have it on good authority that the Akrov kills its prey in a very different way from the Nochosh. But what happens to its victim? What happens to its prey? V'ich v'shtei, I'm happy to be corrected, although the Akrov apparently freezes its victim. It paralyzes it. Paralyzes the victim and then is able to just basically take it apart. It's not like the Nochosh. The Nochosh fills its victim with poison. With the heat of the poison, and that seeps through the person, through the victim's body, and that's what kills it. The Akrov is different. The Akrov paralyzes his victim with its sting, so it effectively becomes petrified, becomes frozen. and then is able to do what it wants to it. I think it's not the only animal that does it, but that's what makes it akrov unique. Right, we should be spared from both of these. Oh, but the akrov is not the aseira. He's not like the chamimus of the Yetzirah that's telling us to go do an aveira. What's the akrov's job in the world? To cool us down. Why are you davening with Hashish Lavas? Someone told me he walked into a shul once and he was davening with quite a lot of his Lavas and he was shockling. You know, shockled when we davened. I don't know if the yek, not so much amongst the yekers, but he was shockling where somebody came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Your shockling could power the local power station." In other words, calm down, relax. I'm told off for shockling. Why would you tell someone to do that? Person's learning geschmack. The Yetzer Hara comes along and says, "Relax, it's okay, it's alright, calm down." Person wakes up in the morning, skabikari, alarm with my boy, yeah, and the alarm clock says, "Snooze, noch 5 minutes, it's a there." Take your time. Who is that? That's a Amalek. Asher korcho v'aderech. And so Hashem states that Amalek and Lavan, he quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, Amalek and Lavan are the same klipa. They come from the same place. There's Amalek and there's also Lavan. Lavan is also the koyach of kerirus in the world, of cooling down, of relaxing, of not being too excited, too enthused with the avodas Elokim. This, I think, is Pshat. He doesn't say this, but I think this is Pshat. Why the Akrov, as Rashi said, is Tomid Muchen Lishoich. He's always ready to bite, whereas the Nochosh is not always a danger. The Akrov is a greater danger because it's always, what was Loshen used, is always aggressive. It's always ready to pounce. I think it could be because to warm things up, you need a surge of energy. You don't always have that surge of energy. It's not always there. To cool things down, everything's always cooling down. I think it's the second, third law of thermodynamics, is it not? Right? Entropy, maybe? Things are all... If you boil a kettle, the minute you stop boiling it, it's immediately cooling down. Everything is always cooling down. To make something warm, you need to provide a flow of energy. You need to provide fire, electricity. You need to provide something. Right? So that's not always the case. That's not always, right? In other words, when you leave things be, they just revert to chaos. They just start to disintegrate. Everything's disintegrating. So therefore, the Akrov is the koyach that just says, just relax, right? Just relax. Your status quo. Sheva al tase. Odif. Just sit back. Don't daven and don't go to dafyom. Don't go to learn. Don't do this. Don't do that. Maiz chesed. Because that requires energy. The Akrov is easy. The Akrov almost has the easier job. Yeah, take it easy. The Nochash has to wind you up and get you engaged and enthused to do an Avera. The Akrov just has to take your enthusiasm out. That's always more, that's more ubiquitous, so to speak. It's more all-present than is the Nochash. The Meila, therefore, in Tesant, we say in the Haggadah, despite the fact that Mitzrayim was all about Paro, and therefore Yitzias Mitzrayim was all about extracting ourselves from the clutches of Paro and defeating Paro. Nevertheless, during the Haggadah, there's a very interesting paragraph. Sail the mad. Mad bikesh loben o arami lasses the Yaakov Avinu. So Paro the Gozer is chorim, right? Beloben bikesh lakos hakor. All of a sudden, we have a departure from Mitzrayim and Paro, and all of a sudden, we're talking about Lova. Like, you think Paro was bad? You should just see Lova. Lova's worse. How's Lova worse? Sorry? Because Lovin's the scorpion. As bad as Paroi is as a Yetzirah to go do an Avera, which is the Chamimus, because the Nochosh is the Achno, which is Kenan, which comes from Chom, which comes from the excitement to go and do an Avera, the Akrov in a way is more dangerous, more damaging. Paro lo gozel es chorim means Paro only gets us to do some averes. But Lovon bikesh lakris hakoil, they're making us give up. They're making us not bothered. They're making us apathetic. for making us lethargic, slow, lazy, can't be bothered. And in that sense, the kerirus of the akrov, the kaldkeit, the coldness that the akrov injects in us, is actually more damaging than the chamimus of the nochosh that tries to encourage us to do an aver chas v'shalom. So there's an akuda here. Let's take it back to tefillah. Time is running out. Take us back to tefillah. So the chori we can say like this. There's one other major chiddush between the nochosh and the akrov, the chamimus and kerirus, and that is this. Chamimus for an avera can be converted into chamimus for a bar mitzvah. The Muslims Forum often say that if a person feels excited to go do an avera, they should take that excitement, they should bottle it, and then they should turn it 180 degrees and fire off the cannon to go do a mitzvah. I remember in yeshiva already learning in the Sefer, he quotes the Reish Chochmah, but I can't remember the Sefer itself. Sorry. It was a pamphlet Sefer, like a kuntres I was quoting, and he quotes the Reish Chochmah. He says, if a person has a yetzer to do an avera, and in that moment they go to do a mitzvah, that mitzvah is 10,000 times more valuable. And he writes there that if a person says a tefillah at that moment, a person has a yetzer hara. Could be a billboard on the high street. It could be anything. And in that moment, they turn away and they say a tefillah kapitel tehillim. That kapitel tehillim is more potent, more powerful than any other kapitel tehillim. Because you've taken the chamimus to do an avera and you've poured it into a mitzvah. Beautiful. Kedai to come just here. For me to come. The emes. In Poga Machom Nuvel, said in the Gemara, Moshchehu the Beis HaMedrash. Moshchehu, you're schlepping into the Sotan, into the Beis. Why would you schlep the Sotan into the Beis HaMedrash? And he says, you're taking that energy and you're putting it in the right. Beautiful. It's basically like nuclear power. It can either be used to destroy, or if it's channeled in the right direction, it can bring warmth and comfort and energy to thousands of people. It depends how you use it. That's what chamimus is. Asha al kain, yitzias mitzrayim, means taking, very interesting, yitzias mitzrayim, the loshen yitzias mitzrayim is a bit schwer. Yitzias mitzrayim means the exit of Egypt. It's not the exit of Egypt, it should be yitzio mimitzrayim. Why do we keep calling it yitzias mitzrayim? We said this morning in Krishna, Asha yitzesi eschem me'eretz mitzrayim. What's yitzias mitzrayim? He also said, you've got to remove the Mitzrayim, what do you do with it? He's saying, yeah. So that's why before we daven, we say Krishma, and Brichas Krishma, because we are taking the chamimus of the nochosh of Mitzrayim, and we are investing it into our tefillah. And you want that. You want that chamimus. And therefore, if there's a nochosh kol chalakevov, lo yafzik. Don't interrupt. If there's a nochosh, if Mitzrayim, if the chamimus for an avera is wrapped around your ankle to get you to go do an avera, lo yafsik, don't interrupt, don't break, don't stop, don't get rid of it. Use it. Use it. Convert it. Convert the energy. Meridik. But that only works for chamimus. That doesn't work for kerirus. There's a kaltkeit. Of course, one can use kaltkeit for avodas elokim for a good purpose. Of course you can. When an avera presents itself, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. Yeah? Of course you can use the concept of kerirus avodas Hashem. Coldness. Lack of energy. But now you're about to go daven. Now there's no time for kerirus. You're getting ready for the main part of tefillah. Tefillah and Chazal is Shmoneh Esra. So therefore, if there's an akrov, koruch al hakevav, person's like yawning and spashlofen and sleeping, can't be bothered. Yafsik. You've got to be poisik. You can't carry that into your davening. The chamimus you can carry into your davening. You can carry the Kanan, the Achno of Mitzrayim, into your davening because you're going to convert it into Avodah Zedekim. But Krirus you can't carry into your tefillah. That's why the halacha is that the Nochosh, you keep going. But the Akrov, you have to stop. And also the Gantz Yisoyin, that the whole, when the Kosh Baruch meets Moshe in last week's parasha, he says to him, L'man tavnun se l'kim al ha-hor hazeh, it's mamish, L'man tavnun, asher hoitzesi eschem em me'eris Mitzrayim, li yois lochem le'lokim. I'm bringing you out of Mitzrayim in order to be, in other words, the two are connected. Time is up, isn't it? Okay, I was going to bring L'sirun Pachalolo and, L'sirun Levesim Misholeg. There's this idea that there's a Sholeg, there's even a Gehenim of Sholeg, Shteit Nesfor Makadosh, which Shmuel brings down, there's even a Gehenim of Sholeg, a Gehenim of snow. Everyone thinks a Gehenim is Eish. There's also a Gehenim of snow, which is where a person goes if they carried out the Avodah Hashem in a frozen manner, in a cult, can't be bothered, dead fish manner. So the Eish Eschayel is L'sir L'vesim Misholeg, she's not worried about the Sholeg either. There's a whole raid about that. But upon him, for us, we have to... What I want to extract from this medrash that brings the halacha of Korach al HaKevov into the parsha is effectively by saying, as terrible as Paro is, Lovan is worse. As terrible as the chamimus and avera of Paro is, and Avodah Zorah, and the kishuv and the shtupi zimmer that they were, but upon them, at least that can be converted for a good purpose. Masha Einkin, if there's a Lovan hanging around, who's the same klipa as Amalek, Asher Korach Baderech, that's the worst thing. Therefore, if a person is experiencing a karirus, the most important thing is yafsik, he has to get rid of it. Whereas if there's only a nochosh, there lo yafsik. There's a korach al hakevov, at least he can turn that chamimus, the kanan, that comes from chom, and convert it, beiz Hashem, into a chamimus, that's the dvar lekim, and then it'll be asher, it says, yes, chamimus, mishayim, yes, lachem, lelekim. Okay.